Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call to order the regular board meeting, agenda number 15-09, and invite you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of reflection.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And as you can see, Mr. Kanicki is not here yet. We haven't heard from him, so we assume he's just tied up in traffic or something. So I will stay in this position, and when he comes, he will take over the chair. We have our roll call, beginning with Misty.
Good morning. I'm Misty Key, the Associate Superintendent of Fiscal and Administrative Services. And with us today, I would like to introduce Gretel Compton, she's in our graphics department, Peggy White, Lisa Worsley, Rudy Callison, and Tom Edchart, all of the accounting and fiscal department.
Good morning, Valerie Christman, Associate Superintendent, Educational Services. And today I have someone with me. So we have Claudia Franson, who's the Director of Leadership Support Services, Carrie Murphy, who's the Director of Early Childhood Programs, and Dr. Jane Wagmeister, who is the Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction.
Good morning. My name is Rachel Ulrich, and I represent Area 1.
Good morning. I'm Marty Bates. I represent Area 2.
Hello. Stan Mansooth, County Superintendent. And on my far right is Ms. Kathy Samuels filling in for Nancy Ackerman today.
Good morning. Mark Lissagor, Area 3.
Good morning, Ramon Flores, trustee, Area 5.
Okay, Stan, are there any changes to the agenda?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay, then I'll accept a motion for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. We have no public comment cards, and there are no hearings. We don't have a closed session. We need approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of April 27th.
I move to approve.
Second.
Motion to move and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain.
Motion carries 3-0 with one abstention. Move on to correspondence. We have one email dated April 28th. You've all had an opportunity to read it, so we'll move on to item G, President and Board Members' Reports. Anything to report by?
Just one additional piece of information is that I would like to attend the career education graduation on June 4th. Fortunately, unfortunately, I have my own graduate, so he's graduating on the 11th, and the 9th, 10th, and 11th are occupied, my own children.
Congratulations.
I can make the 4th.
Okay. Any other board member reports?
Yes, I was pleased to attend this Inspiration to Innovation Pathfinder luncheon yesterday with Dr. Flores and a packed house at Spanish Hills. It would have made you all proud to see what is being done with this grant. And it was very impressive. It's kind of exciting to be a new person to be able to pass this around if you want to take a look. And I will be attending the CCBE Board of Directors meeting and CSBA House of Delegates in Sacramento a week from now.
Just one item, again, also attended the VC Innovates with Dr. Lissagor. To me, the biggest takeaway was when Dr. Morse presented her answer to the question, what would the success look like, when it was asked by the committee, I thought she just nailed that one, really hit a home run. And second item, I had a chance to attend Providence graduation this Monday. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend the following one, but I believe that listening will be there. That is all.
Okay. As far as the upcoming events and graduation events, I will request that all of us respond to Stan's office as to whether we will or will not be attending. Superintendent's report.
Actually, I do not have any formal report except to express our appreciation for Dr. Lisagor's presence. If you're not aware, he was in Nepal at the time of that devastating earthquake that occurred just last week. Welcome back.
Thanks.
And Dr. Lisagor informed me that they could stay at the embassy, but they had to bring their own bedding. But any legislative reports from anybody? Hearing none. Consent action, we have none. Presentations, none. Now we'll go into the budget study session. And that makes this job very easy because I now turn it over to Stan Manson, the superintendent.
And just as quickly, I will turn this over to Misty.
Thank you. Well, this morning, what we have in front of us in your agenda packet is the final presentation of the entire budget all put together. And just like we've done in the prior two budget study sessions, first we're going to be talking about our programs. And again, I reiterate that that's why we're here. The services to students and the support programs that we have is the most important aspect. So again, I would like to start with that. We have a group of people here with us this morning to tell us about their programs. And first, I'd like to start with Tom Edgart. He's going to be describing and telling us about the exciting things the graphics department has been doing.
Well, good morning, members of the board. It's an honor and a pleasure to address you this morning. You see me oftentimes at the board meetings, but don't often get a chance here to speak. And my philosophy has always been to let my boss do the speaking, the CEO, and only answer if asked to speak. So earlier this week, Misty gave me a call and she said, you know, your budgets are coming up this week, and could you do a short presentation on what exactly you do and what the departments that you oversee? And so we talked a bit about budgeting and accounting, which these fine people do such a great job at. Payroll, purchasing, accounts payable and receivable, all very valuable to the organization, but not very exciting. So we, after a bit more thinking and thinking about what do we do or what functions under my supervision do we do that kind of tie with the LCFF, and especially the entrepreneurial side of the LCFF. And of course, we came up with the graphics department because our graphics department does work not only for VCOE, but for districts and other people as well. So we thought we should showcase the graphics department this morning, and that's what I plan to do. And I want to talk a bit about the graphics department, also give you a real-life example of a partnership that I did with Gretel earlier this year at a conference that I did, and also talk about an upcoming event that they're putting on next week, as a matter of fact. So first of all, I should probably introduce our graphics manager, Gretel Compton, also our very creative art person in graphics. So, as you hope know, the graphics department is a full-service print shop. It's not only copies and presses, although we've just recently updated our high-speed copiers and color copiers, but they can do books, booklets, brochures, forms, letterheads, cards, posters, banners, and not only the product itself, but the design work that goes on behind the scenes, and that's of course, Gretel's territory. She does a fine job. And she's given me some examples that I'll pass out. And of course, our fine budget book is their work as well. And we, you might have noticed that it was redesigned this year to have colored tabs instead of colored pages. And all the pages are sequentially numbered, so there's not the confusing little c and page 3i and so forth. Our graphics department also recently, in the last couple of years, was set up so that you could order online. So you don't necessarily have to come to the graphics department. You can go online and you can get an estimate for your order. You can order and it can be delivered to you through our courier system within our departments and also to our client districts throughout the county. So I want to move on to a real-life example of something that I did with the graphics department earlier this year. Last year, I was the chair of a CSESA subcommittee by the name of COFS, County Office Finance Subcommittee, and it's made of internal directors from county offices throughout the state. And one of our chief tasks is to put on a 2.5-day conference every year. And it's called the CSESA CBO Conference, and it was put on this last year in February. It was a great success, I think, but a lot of it had to do with some of the stuff that I do with our graphics department. So last September or so, I said to Gretel, you know, I've got this conference coming up, and I'm going to need a variety of things, like I'm going to need a theme design and a logo. And I think the only suggestions that I gave her was I really like the color blue, and please don't make it cute. I don't like cute. I'm going to need save the date and conference flyers, agendas, stationery, posters, tote bags, name badges, thank you cards, table tents. Can you do it? What did she say?
Sure.
So I've got a couple examples of the things that the graphics department came up with. And Kathy, if you put up the... Here's the flyer for the conference. Here's the agenda. Here's the name badges that she came up with. Here's our folks at registration. You can see the tote bags that tie the theme in as well. I don't think I saved a single tote bag. I was going to bring that to show you as well. And then this is the overall sort of theme of the conference, and we had that in the background between speakers. Gretel brought a couple of posters that she made. Can you be my Van White? this is the poster that was outside the vendor room, and it had listed all the vendors that participated in supporting the conference. And this was outside of one of our social events that was hosted. That particular one is hosted by SINA. And here's one that we did for breakout sessions. And kind of an interesting story behind this is that the first day of the conference is a general session in a big room. And then in the afternoon, we break that big room up into breakout sessions. And it was 12 different breakout sessions, and I had forgotten that it would be a good idea to have signs in front of the breakout session so people knew which class they were going to. So the day before the conference, I was driving up with all the rest of the conference supplies, and I remembered this, and I gave Gretel a call, and I said, is it possible for you to do 12 posters this morning and give them to the rest of the people coming up in the afternoon, flying up to Sacramento in the afternoon? And, of course, she got it done. So not only did she do great work, but it can be done quickly. Lastly, I'd like to invite you all to this great event that's going on next week, Thursday the 14th, and there'll be demonstrations. Vendors will be there, and there'll be food and ice cream in the afternoon, I understand, right? Gretel, would you like to add anything?
Well, I would just like to encourage everyone to come. The graphics department, as Tom has said, was one of the first departments in the organization to make itself cost recovery. And we've made every effort to set ourselves up to be charged back and to pay for our own time and our own services. So not only do we try to keep the cost down to districts and to the organization by basically charging for supplies, and time, but we also try to keep ourselves afloat. And one of those things has always been to be as entrepreneurial as we can, as Tom used that word, to be able to have ordering online, to be very convenient for everyone, to have great customer service. We've got a survey on our delivery slips that go out to everyone saying, you know, how did we do? We have always embraced that wholeheartedly as being a business within the County Office of Education. And so this is an effort to get information out to the districts now that, you know, time goes by and personnel changes, and I don't know that they realize how convenient this could be to just order online and have a courier deliver back to them. You don't have to go out and find a Kinko's or whatever. You know, they can just send us the job online. It's so easy. So anyway, I'm really going to try to promote that to the districts and even to people within the organization that may not know all the things that we can do. So thank you.
That concludes what I had to say. Any questions or comments?
No, just I apologize. I teach during a time of your open house, so I would love to come, but I cannot. So.
Mr. Etchart, I do find what you do very exciting. Thank you.
And he means
that.
Thank you very much. And Valerie is going to introduce our next speaker.
Our next presenter will be Dr. Jane Wagmeister, and she'll be talking about curriculum and instruction.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day weekend. It is both a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share with you this morning what we do in curriculum and instruction, and we are located upstairs. And there's about 23 of us in our department, and we are recognized for our ability to develop successful partnerships with our local schools and districts. And I think that we are looked to because of the customized professional development that we provide at all of our districts. We actually have contracts with every single district in our county, and we also have contracts with universities and charter schools. And CI is composed of directors, and our directors are former, very well-esteemed principals and central office administrators. And our content specialists are known because they were recognized, many of them, as Teachers of the Year in their districts or in their former states. And we have content specialists in all areas of academic instruction: art, mathematics, social studies, science, history, and positive behavioral support. So some of the professional learning that we do is done at the district office, it's done at the school sites, and as you have probably seen here at our conference center. And since July, up until yesterday, we have provided professional development to administrators and teachers filling 9,197 seats. So we're very, very proud of that. We are, I think we are looked to because of the way that we have very high level instruction. We work with research-based effective strategies, and we are known because everything that we do from soup to nuts. Some people look at us and they say, do you also do weddings, bar mitzvahs, and quinceañeras? So some of the things that we are known for as well, in addition to the academics, are the positive behavior supports. And some of you are very well aware of the CHAMPS approach that we have. I don't want to say that we've developed it, but we've really customized it for our schools and our districts. And we are very proud of the work that we have been able to provide to our own family. And we consider our family to be our Gateway School, our Providence, our special education schools. And through grants that we have received, and we have about three different grants that specifically support our positive behavioral efforts and CHAMPS, we have been able to develop cohorts.
So we have a PBIS, Positive Behavior Cohort, and our Gateway School is our primary beneficiary. And as you know, we are very, very proud that this past year, both our Gateway School and our Triton School are now recognized as National Positive Behavior Support Sites. So that's a recent accomplishment. The other thing that we do, and this is led by our directors, is we do leadership coaching, and leadership in the sense of instructional leadership team coaching. And we go out to districts and we work with their superintendents, their assistant supes, and their cabinet on their vision for the California state standards, how they move that forward. And we also work with schools on their school site leadership teams. The other thing that we have recently developed this year is through the local control funding formula, many of our school districts are now hiring their own teachers to come out of the classroom and become coaches. But many of these teacher leaders have never had the opportunity to lead. So we have now developed a coaches cohort. And this year we have had 3 sessions, and we have developed it for 70 coaches across all of our districts. And it is so well received that we are doing that again next year. The other thing that we have developed this year is we have had some state recognition for our science support. So we have now developed a science and NGSS leadership network that has about 80 science leaders from our county involved in that. And also with science at the state level, we are very proud that in this June, June 1st, we are going to be the site and the host for the state NGSS rollout. The other leadership that we have coming out of curriculum and instruction is mathematics. And we now have a mathematics leadership network with 60 math leaders. We are also the Arts Regional Network Council upstairs, and we have just had our first regional arts day with a local high school for their demonstration day. We also now have an arts network with 80 arts leaders. We have an RTI network that's been involved and in place for 8 years, and that's also been recognized by the state, and the state has developed their model of RTI looking to Ventura County. The other things that come out of curriculum and instruction are what we call job alikes, and those are our bilingual coordinators network and our project directors. We also run an RTI network and a PBIS network. We've been very fortunate in the past few years to receive grants. We've received just recently this year 2 grants for the arts. We've received several grants for science and RTI. And some of these grants are to develop statewide modules to teach other educators. And some of these grants have been to produce brochures for the public. And the public is considered boards, school boards, state boards, business leaders, and parents. And what I've included in here as a pass around at a glance are some of the brochures that our department has been able to develop with our partner, she's gone, Gretel. But we produce them right here, and the state has afforded us awards, and then they go up on the state website for all boards to use. So that's in here as well. And the other thing that I would like to tell you is that we have what's called demonstration sites now in the county. So in addition to having our Gateway and Triton as national positive behavior demonstration sites, we have 6 other visitation sites in Ventura County that are visited for their positive behavioral support efforts. In closing, my last minute, the other thing that we also do is we have very large events here. We have been doing the RTI annual symposium for the past 8 years. And we have at least 300 people attend those events. There's 2 each year. This year we did something new, and we're very proud to collaborate with other members in our family in VECO. And our Claudia, who's in charge of leadership support, we got together because this year was the first year that the state anointed Gold Ribbon schools. Many of them had as their signature practice positive behavior support, and response to instruction invention. So this year we calibrated our event together, and we have the RTI and the Gold Ribbon Schools Showcase. And this was a first for VECO. We actually showcased every one of the Gold Ribbon Schools in Ventura County, and we already have it planned again for the second annual next year. The other collaborations that we've been enjoying this year is our collaboration with teacher support. We built our coaches cohort to complement their leadership academy. We also teach in their leadership academy. We're also collaborating this year with our own ed tech department. And this is all under the enthusiastic guidance of Dr. Valerie Christman, who is very much a cheerleader in the collaborative partnerships between all of our departments. The other thing that we are doing next month is we're doing our Title I 21st Century Showcase. And this, too, is our second annual. And that will be provided complimentary to Title I schools in our county. And we will be collaborating with our ed tech department. And in closing, I'm going to pass this if anybody would like to share. And I think you already know that our Gateway School was also included in a full chapter of a national book this year for their work with CHAMPS. So we're very proud to be a part of curriculum and instruction. And every Friday at this time, you will see some seniors in our curriculum and instruction department. And we have a very special seniors showcase, and it is our speakers bureau called Seasons. And they are upstairs right now, and they are learning about computers and ed tech, because they go out to our own schools and districts, and most recently to our Phoenix school. We had one of the Holocaust survivors there talking to our own kiddos. And we are very proud that even though some people say you do weddings, bar mitzvahs, and quinceañeras and soup to nuts, that we have folks upstairs who are in their 80s and 90-year-old right now working with our team and going out to our schools. So we're very proud of what we do. We also have our library that we support, and it's a pleasure to work at VECO. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I'm interested in the leadership coaches cohort.
Yes.
Coaches, are they mentors, senior teachers who are coaching and mentoring? Is that the...
There is a different definition for each district. So some of them are called TOSAs. They were teachers who were in the classroom, and for the most part, they are out of the classroom. Some of their roles are different. In the pure sense, they are mentors. They go into classrooms, and they support teachers. Part of their opportunity or challenge is how do they communicate with the teacher and at the same time communicate with their administrator. Where is their voice? Where is their role? So we work with them on communication skills, on facilitation, some of the content, but they really already know their content. But it's really to build the capacity of our districts.
Just a comment from me, if I may. I think it was 2 years ago I had a chance to give a presentation with Dr. Weichmeister and Dr. Christman at the CSBA annual conference. And I mean, at first off, I was impressed by the professionalism, that's a given. But hearing you now again, hearing Tom speak, one of my takeaways is just the passion that you share for the work that you do. And in Tom, I could hear the pride in your voice as you were presenting. So again, thank you for the work that you do in support of our students.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. I'm now going to introduce Dawn Anderson, who wasn't in the room earlier because one of those job-alike meetings is actually going on, and she's chairing it. She has all the school nurses. Dawn is the director of Comprehensive Health and Prevention Programs and was a former school nurse for the Ventura County office, so she has a special place in all of our hearts, having been a longtime employee.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Dr. Christman said I am in a meeting currently, and I have a presenter, so I am able to come for a few minutes. In Comprehensive Health, it has been new. I've been here 7 months now. Have really enjoyed the position. I'm able to provide technical support to our school districts, our nurses. We've had a lot of health concerns within our county. We had a measles outbreak. Yes, so when I first started in October, had some Ebola concerns, so there was a lot of health calls and questions. We do a large prevention program. We have a tobacco use prevention education grant. We have some other grants through Ventura County Behavioral Health with alcohol and other drugs, and also our prevention and early intervention grants. And through those grants, we're able to do Friday Night Live, which is a youth mentoring program. We're also able to provide Safe Talk, which is a suicide awareness program. And we were able to increase the numbers this year, provide extra, or seek out grant funding to get extra materials so that we were able to increase the numbers from about 130 last year were trained, and we're about 360 school staff members, parents, and students that have been trained this year. With our Restorative Justice is another program through our prevention early intervention, and that is done with Claudia Frampton. We've done that. And that has been very successful. We were doing facilitator networks this year, and I don't know if Claudia's going to be talking about that at all. I don't want to take her part, but it was very successful. We had a lot of districts call us within the year and show increased interest. So we actually put on an additional conference to introduce restorative justice to districts that hadn't taken or participated in the conferences before. So we're actually going to be expanding that for next year. We've done a number of conferences this year, including mental health, our drug and alcohol DITEP programs, alcohol and other drugs, so prescription drug and heroin use. I sit on a number of community boards in county with Ventura County Behavioral Health and Public Health. And do you have any questions? Yes, Dr. Lizard.
You forgot to mention the most important thing you do, which is to represent the county office at the Ventura County Children's Oral Health Collaborative Leadership. More to the point, because of your office, for the first time we have a question on the student survey. It's every 2 years, I think.
Yes, our California Health
Survey. First time we, this, through your office, we got a question on oral health, so we have a data point to start looking at, are we seeing any changes in impact with all the stuff we're doing.
You're welcome, and I enjoy the committee. I wasn't able to attend yesterday, but
you sent your staffer.
I did, and have been able to go and work with members of the committee to go out and expand our Building Healthy Smiles program that Oral Health is doing, and getting the program into other school districts. So working with our other school nurses to help expand the program. So I've been very happy to do that.
I have a question. You've been doing great work for us for the last 7 months. How long were you a BCOE employee before that?
This is my ninth year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
thank you very much, Don. And now I have the pleasure of introducing you to Claudia Franson. And she is the Director of Leadership Support Services, and whose name has been mentioned as someone who collaborates with the other departments all along.
It's just this high.
Yeah.
That does very well. Good morning. I am enjoying my third year of working for VCOE. It is the best county office that I have ever been associated with, and I've been associated with a few. So happy to be here. As a Director of Leadership Support Services, I get to coordinate some very exciting programs at VCOE. And that, I think, will be the last time I say I, because I couldn't do it without all the collaboration that is possible in this great county office, and without my secretary, Lydia Shabira, and my clerk, Sarah Kennelty. There are three of us in our department. So we will talk about, I will talk about for us, our programs. And I'll start with L3, which is a rebranded professional development program that I get to talk to some of the big names in education. that was just like, I'm a groupie for people who write the books about education and speak, and I actually get to contact them and bring them here, and we've had some wonderful people, Sarah Brown Wesley, David Conley, Anthony Muhammad, Eric Scheninger, and smile because these are really big. And this next year, we have been able to connect with Michael Fullen and Liz Wiseman. So, you know, you're invited to come to those if you would like to attend. Next, family engagement. And family engagement has become bigger. We always knew it was important, but Mr. Mantooth came to me and said, you know, this is a new position for the county because of LCAP, LCFF funding, and it being one of the priorities. So we have done, we brought Karen Mapp from Harvard, who is a premier researcher. She came and started out our program. Then we did five trainings for parents because after surveys, districts were saying, you know, we really want our parents trained in being leaders, so they know what's going on. So we completed that this year, complete with babysitting and dinners. So we got, you know, a nice turnout. Restorative justice, dear to my heart, worked with Carlin Bach before Dawn, and they're both equally wonderful to work with. It, because of AB 1729 and the not suspending and expelling without going through a process and restorative justice being one of the ones that is recognized as working. It also ties in very well with CHAMPS, which is already here. It is terrific, and it builds relationships, teaches social-emotional skills, and gives us something to do when things go wrong on campuses. Next, I want to talk a little bit about our program for administrative services credential, new principals who are clearing their credential. That was a new program. We thought we would run it with 12, and the first year we had 37. This year, we thought, well, we got everybody, right, Mallory? And we had 80. So it seems to be a growing concern, even a satellite with Santa Barbara. So that was a very cool thing. And one of the things I really like collaborating with ASC about is working with our TSS, Teacher Support Services Program, because that program is induction, and that's where the credentialing comes from, and it's great to work with the people. We went through accreditation, and through all of our hard work, and especially the direction of Kim Engelhardt, they were able to find nothing glaring. In fact, I heard that at the state meeting, they were like, you mean you don't have any recommendations? And it was very short. So that was wonderful. Another thing we do that we found out how important it was this year was legal forum. We have 5 to 6 law offices send experts to train our administrators for free about new laws and things that have come up. And then finally, the Distinguished School, which has changed to the Gold Ribbon School. And that is so fun, to visit all those wonderful schools and get that little shot in the arm about why we do this work, seeing those kids and seeing those excited teachers and administrators. Last year for Distinguished School, there were 17 elementary schools recognized. This year it is now called Gold Ribbon Schools, and 8 of our county middle schools and high schools were awarded that. So that is really good. I am so happy to be here because it is the most fun thing I've ever done in education, and I've done several things. And I love the idea of collaborating, and I've collaborated with almost every department, or we have, because it is a place where we all work together to meet the needs of the county districts. Thank you very much. Any questions? Right. And our final speaker is Carrie Murphy. And Carrie actually was going to come to an earlier budget study session.
and there was a conflict and she wasn't able to present. So she is the only one that has a little PowerPoint, because I told all of the others it had to be brief and no PowerPoint. So Carrie's up from the first regime when she would have been able to do that.
However, I will be brief. I believe my comments are down to about 5 to 8 minutes. I very much appreciate being included on your agenda today, so thank you. I would like to start with why it is we do the work that we do. And so we have a very short, I believe, 2-minute YouTube clip that I think Kathy is going to try to pull up for us from Dr. James Heckman. Kathy will now segue over to our PowerPoint. I think that the Heckman clip does a nice job demonstrating the why of our work in early childhood and why it is so important to be investing in the 0 to 5 years. My favorite takeaway from that particular clip is that $1 that we invest in quality programming for 0 to 5 year olds has a $7 return. It's the best public investment we can make in 0 to 5 year olds. And we, here in Ventura County, have a strong history of quality initiative work. In fact, we've been doing this great work for 15 years now. In the state, we are considered a very strong preschool county. Our department, which is a relatively new department here at county office, oversees 6 projects, and we have a team of 13 people. And what I'm going to do is a quick lap through of the different projects that we oversee. And at the back of your PowerPoint, you have a handout with this circle chart with the various projects that we implement. One thing that I would like to point out about the Early Childhood Programs Department here at County Office is that we are completely funded by grants that are coming from both First Five and the Department of Education. So, let's start with that very first circle that we see up there, Quality Rating Improvement System. You see here that this project brings in $1.8 million annually, and this year we are funded from First Five. Next year, some of that First Five funding is going to be reduced. However, we have a new $950,000 grant that is coming in from the Department of Education to keep that project whole. And what it is that we do with QRIS, by the way, there are 40 states right now implementing QRIS, is we have the opportunity to standardize elements of quality and then get into the sites and support quality programming. So we rate programs in 3 core areas on 7 elements. We then go in with our coaches and our technical assistant specialists and write a quality improvement plan. as support our teachers in improving the quality of the program so that ultimately they can attain either a Tier 4 or a Tier 5 rating, which is the highest rating. And we want to have our parents informed as to what quality is. We want parents to be asking for a Tier 4 or a Tier 5 program for their child so that they know and they feel confident when their child starts kindergarten, they're ready to be successful. A little factoid, 84% of our rated programs right now in Ventura County are at a Tier 4 or 5, so that speaks to the 4 years of support that they've been receiving through QRIS work. So I mentioned 4 years, we are in our fourth year of implementing QRIS, and big picture, we're working with 116 sites in the county right now, working with 4,000 children through the QRIS program. So closely aligned with the QRIS effort, we support our workforce through our ECE stipend program. And if we go back to our bubble, we see that the ECE stipend project represents $610,000, and that's blended funding, a combination of both the Department of Ed as well as First Five. And the intent here is to get more BA-level instructors in those preschool classrooms, impacting quality. And since we began this blended effort in 2008, we've awarded $1.7 million in stipends and have successfully contributed to 100 people earning their degrees. Our next bubble, a very exciting bubble, transitional kindergarten. This is that new grade level that was created in 2010 through legislation. This year, in the 14-15 budget, the legislature made the point that transitional kindergarten teachers need more support. They need to understand how to move to more of a developmentally appropriate model using center-based instruction, aligning their work to the preschool foundations from the Department of Ed. And so they included funding in this year's budget, which for us here in Ventura County has translated into $334,000. For us to support our TK teachers in earning 24 ECE units. When this funding became available, the districts approached David Simmons and the CPAN group and requested that we create a TK certificate for our districts. We said yes, and we have jumped into a very exciting adventure with that. We are partnering with our higher ed institutions, CSU CI, CSU Fullerton, Ventura College. We have other folks on the planning team representing districts. This has been a very collaborative effort here in-house in that we have several departments working on creating this TK support system, including curriculum and instruction, teacher support, and I mentioned HR. So what we've done is created this TK Learning Institute. In fact, we had a very successful meeting just last night where we had, I believe, 35 teachers wanting to participate in obtaining this TK certificate, which they can do in 1 year's time. And with that $334,000, they will be reimbursed by us so that they can earn that TK certificate. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that the Ventura County model is ahead of the curve compared to other counties, and we will be highlighted in a CDE webinar next month with what we're doing with our TK programming. Continuing on with the next bubble, small but mighty, we have the California Preschool Instructional Network, and that provides Department of Ed training to our preschool sites. That's a handful of trainings a year, but I do want to point out that through QRIS, our department is providing over 90 professional development opportunities annually countywide. Next bubble, California State Preschool Program. This is a contract that we have had for several years now. It supports three school districts in operationalizing 192 preschool spaces. We work with Rio, Wainimi, and Ocean View on this particular program, and they are also supported by early literacy coaching. Then, hooking all of this great work together, we have the Local Planning Council. The Local Planning Council acts as a united voice for early childhood here in Ventura County. Every county has a LPC, and appointments are made by Superintendent Mantooth as well as our Board of Supervisors. And they are tasked with creating a countywide child care needs assessment as well as a corresponding strategic plan. Other significant work that's underway by the LPC is they advise all of the work that we do with our QRIS implementation, as well as advise all of the work that we do with our stipend programming. So in conclusion, we will end with a quote from State Superintendent Horlickson talking about the importance of investing in early learning, as it truly has a lifetime impact. So there you have it. Any questions?
Carrie, I would just reiterate, this is true for all of education, but especially early childhood education. It's not a cost, it's an investment.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm always amazed and feel honored and privileged that I get to work with such amazing professionals doing the work that they do in support of students in this county. And with that, because this item is actually about the budget, I can move to the budget book that is in front of you. You have seen most of these budgets, so stop me at any time if you have a question about a specific one, but I'm going to fast forward to some of the points either that we have changed or that are newly presented in front of you this morning. So if you will go to page 55, this particular page is the Fund 13, or our restricted programs. You have seen this budget, I believe, in the first study session. I wanted to point out to you that we have changed. As you recall, the local control funding formula continues to provide us the opportunity to change the way we account for our programs. CalSafe is a program that is now considered unrestricted funding. When you saw it, the budget for the CalSafe, previously we had it in the restricted programs. We've now had the opportunity to move the accounting to the unrestricted programs. So you will see this is a change that we've done since the last budget study session. You will notice the move in the revenue line, where there used to be an LCFF revenue for $606,000. Now we've moved that budget, and I'll point out where it landed when we get there in the pages. So that is a change since the last time you've seen the restricted program budget. The next page that I'm going to point out to you, we're going to fast forward all the way to page 127. The purple tab, our Fund 19 starts with our unrestricted programs and our unrestricted funding, also known as the LCFF. This is part of the budget that you have not yet seen. On page 27 shows the total for the revenue and expenditures, the beginning balances. You'll notice in the far right-hand column, we have a total income of $21,671,009 projected, and you'll notice that our budgeted expenditures show a slight deficit, ever so slight, $21,948,262. And as you recall, that we are in the process of transitioning to fee-for-service, we very conservatively do not project any additional revenue for those contracted fee-for-services until we are pretty confident the level of revenue or desired contracted services that our customers are requesting of us. So I'm confident that this deficit will go away as soon as we capture the total revenue that we will be receiving from programs and services. And also in Fund 19, this is where the CalSafe program, it now resides in our accounting or in our budget. Another change that we have made, and you'll see the opposite effect in a future tab, is that we also have moved our deferred maintenance accounting. It used to live separately in Fund 140, I believe, and now it is moved over into the same fund. Again, a result of the LCFF, it is considered unrestricted funding. So we continue to consolidate our programs and accounting for those budgets as the accounting requires that it's unrestricted. So that is another move that is made in this Fund 19. And our deferred maintenance projects, even though the state has considered those funds unrestricted, we still dedicate the same level of funding that they used to restrict previously towards those programs. So for example, the last round of state funding dedicated about $300,000 towards deferred maintenance projects. So we maintain that level of dedicated projects towards our facilities. Specifically in 15-16, the projects that we are planning to complete, we have a $160,000 roofing project that is happening over in the administrative services building next door. We have a $30,000 plumbing project at Penfield School, $55,000 in HVAC repairs or replacements as needed at the ACE Charter School specifically and the administrative services building next door, $35,000 worth of wall systems, wall systems in general, and these are specifically to classrooms, Penfield and at the Career Education Center. And then another project is $5,000 worth of paving, and this is at the Triggs School. So again, these are projects that are identified as a high priority, meaning they need to be repaired and replaced now. We've got a very long list of facilities needs and repairs, and we have them on a timeline of when we will complete them, and of course it's all driven by funding. You will recall that previously a 5-year deferred maintenance plan was presented to you, and because it is not required any longer from the state, it's not something we have to do, it's not tied towards the funding, we won't be presenting that 5-year plan to you. However, we still complete that projections and that assessment of our facilities. And if you don't have any questions, I'm going to fast forward to page 147. This particular fund, we call it Fund 100, shows the amount of special education revenue that passes through our books and is handed out to school districts. This is through the AB 602, and it's coming through our SELPA. So you will see that the total amount of money coming to us, and then again passing right through to the districts, is projected to be $96 million next year. You'll see there's a slight increase of $1.8 million compared to 14-15, and this is specifically because of the cost of living adjustment that the state is going to increase the revenue and a slight amount for growth revenue, and that's attributed to attendance or the amount of students that we're serving in Ventura County.
But that gets passed through?
Yes.
It's
yes.
Not really like we're gaining one bit.
But it is revenue that is given to school districts to serve their special ed students. So if they send their students to the county program, then of course that is the money that they use to pay for those programs. So it's for special education services in general for the whole county. And moving forward to page 151, I wanted to point out the child development fund budget. This is Fund 120. Even though we've seen this budget previously, I pointed it out specifically because Carrie Murphy was able to join us this morning. And so this is the budget that she was describing. You'll see that it lives in a restricted fund all by itself. And all of the funds that we bring in, because they're restricted, she spends them on the early childhood programs. And if we don't spend it, you lose it, basically. So you'll see that it's a net wash, that we don't carry a fund balance in that fund. I have just a couple more items to point out. On page 177, starting, this is our special reserve. revenue in this fund is specifically for facilities projects, and this funding comes to us through the old RDA, the redevelopment agencies. And you'll notice that we have designated an expenditure or a movement of revenue out of this fund in 15-16. So I want to point out that we are using those dollars to build those portables that I believe Emily described in her special education program report. She is opening, I believe, 8 new classrooms. So out of this, we're moving revenue from this fund to pay for those facilities projects. Annually, the special education program budget will repay this fund, and it'll be repaid in about $50,000 annually, so over the course of 7 or 8 years, depending on what can fit in the budget. So again, we use our own funds to support building projects, and then the program, as it can afford it, pays it back. So that's all I have to point out. I did want to mention that while we did have a lot of wonderful program report presentations to us from all of our wonderful people doing the things that they do in our organization, we did not get to hear from everybody because of scheduling and different things going on and just timing here spent on that purpose. So we'll make sure that we continue to highlight programs that you have not yet heard from in the future. Do you have any questions on our entire budget?
I just have one. When the LCFF got moved, excuse me, from Fund 13 to 19, how come it went down 100,000? So it didn't. It's just 100% didn't get transferred over.
Can you tell me the page you're looking
at? Oh, it's 55 and 128. So 55, it shows line 8,000.
Okay. It could be, I'm going to guess at the moment, it could be because even though the entire program budget moved over, what's going on in Fund 19 is a lot of stuff. It's $9 million, over $9 million worth. And because this is the consolidation of it, that variance could be reflective of a consolidation of programs. Do you guys know off the top of your head if the amount of funding for CalSAFE is actually less dedicated in the budget? It's a straight move.
Got added in and taken out.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, the variance in this column, what you're seeing is a consolidation of everything going on in Fund 19, which is $21 million worth of accounting and programs.
And one last thing.
It's an excellent question.
The indirect costs are the fee for service.
Good question. No, the fee-for-service to our customers when they pay for, contracted services, that comes in as revenue. What indirect cost is kind of overhead. The term indirect cost is unique to governmental accounting. In private sector, it's called overhead. And so you charge yourself within your books to pay for things that everybody benefits from, all of your details. For example, it pays for payroll, it pays for accounting, it pays for HR, it pays for technology. Those things that all of your programs get a benefit on, you don't direct charge them for the cost of their paycheck. Instead, you just apply a percentage to all of their expenditures across all of your programs, and it's called indirect. So it's kind of like your overhead.
And is it negative because we get paid for services from other districts, so we're covering our own costs?
No, it has nothing to do with districts. It's our own internal, it's VCOE only. And so it's negative because we're charging up in the lines above and we're bringing in that revenue, and it pays for our payroll salaries. It pays for our accounting staff salaries. It pays for all of those programs that are considered an overhead type function. So it's a mechanism to have that overhead and yet have it be equally dispersed. So for example, a good example is the early childhood program. So we bring in these grants that are restricted grants, and yet we can't allocate direct cost. How many times does she have an invoice that needs to be paid that funnels through the accounts payable department? We don't charge her every time for that individual transaction. Instead, you charge what's called indirect, and it's a percentage. So it's very important when you have restrictive grants that that grant pays for the overhead, and then they have what's called their direct, which is the services to students.
So it's essentially our in-house fee for service. We are charging ourselves
for the overhead services. Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Mrs. Key, if I may, it's the cost of doing business, and it's a negative number because it's deducted from those programs.
Right. We're charging ourselves to run those programs.
Yes. The other thing is that we don't get to arbitrarily set the number. It's a formula-driven.
Right, so each grant will say we will allot you 2% overhead costs?
No, actually it's a
statewide global formula calculation every year.
Yes.
That is done throughout.
And the reality of it is California negotiates what that formula looks like with the federal government, because we charge ourselves federal grants that overhead. And so it really, the formula is very complex, what goes into it, and California doesn't make it up on their own. They negotiate what that formula looks like with the federal government. So for example, the cost of the superintendent and the cost of the school boards, which is you guys, are not allowed to be a part of that indirect cost. That is something that was negotiated with the federal government and the state of California. So it's pretty complex accounting formulas, and it's just a way of how to pay for those overheads, or as Stan said, the cost of doing business.
The only questions.
Any other questions?
Ms. Key, just a couple of comments. I want to echo your thanks to the business folks for putting this together. It's a lot of hard work. I think it is exciting, Tom. I like the reformatting. I think makes it easier to reference the pages, to find the information, and the tabs kind of punch it up a little bit. And as Misty said, in the interest of time and scheduling, we have other departments with seven-figure budgets that you haven't had presentations on that we can bring them, like technology services, school business advisory services, which is our external oversight of our school districts and administration of all the payroll for the entire county in education, as well as teacher support and HR, all with budgets exceeding $1 million.
Okay, I'm going to make one comment, and that is I want to thank Misty and Valerie and Stan. These presentations during the budget study session have been invaluable to me because it allows me to kind of understand the budget as to what programs it is paying for and the results of the dollars we spend. So I think it has been fascinating, and I thank you all very much for putting it all together.
Yep.
Board member comments? Any more?
No, just thank you. It is very helpful.
That's great.
Future agenda items. You can glance over it. If you have anything additional, you can get a hold of either Dean or Stan and make the request. With that, our next meeting is Tuesday, May 26th, which isn't far off. And with that, we will adjourn.